Coming up on today's Family.ie radio magazine, highlights from our series called Hedges, Loving Your Marriage Enough to Protect It.
People don't set out to commit adultery. Adultery creates chaos and ruins lives, and all of a sudden it spirals out of control.
We'll hear more about that in a moment. And responsible kids, from how to wow.
In the teenage years, the feelings factor is much greater than at any other stage. The possibility of conflict with the parent is also greater. So managing ourselves is actually pivotal.
And how to strike the balance between being tough and tender. TNT for dynamite relationships.
And to be able to say, in the balance of things, I've given 8 hours already to this, I need to give time to my family. And to be able to keep this in a balance.
All that and more, all on today's edition of Family.ie Radio Magazine. And you're very welcome along. I'm Ronan Johnston. Television and films often portray extramarital affairs as exciting and alluring, even though the ugly after effects are devastating to individuals, families and communities. But are you and your spouse exempt? How can you keep your marriage from becoming a statistic? Our original 5-part series took an honest look at some of the pitfalls to avoid. Here are just a few highlights from Hedges.
Obviously, the internet can pose a threat to healthy marriages, so we need to be wise in how and possibly when and where we go online. But temptation is everywhere, no matter what form of media it takes. I'm Vincent Hughes, and along with Stephen Cardy and Heather Walsh, let's hear what Jerry has to say about that, and then I'd like us to respond.
And when I first wrote this book, it was before the internet. The first incarnation of this book was more than 20 years ago, and internet was not an issue. And now it seems so pervasive and so easy and seemingly so private. That I hear from a lot of men who struggle with this. And, in my generation, the big deal was the pornography that comes through on the television in the hotel room. And I would say to people, you know, I'd love to tell you that I'm so spiritual and so mature that that's not a temptation for me. But, you know, at the end of a hard day of traveling and you're, you know, lonely and you're justifying and you're, you know, The first thing I would do when I get to a hotel room is to call the desk. They would say, if you have children in your room, you can turn off this pornography. And so I said, I'd like that turned off. They go, we didn't realize you had a child in the room. I said, yeah, you got one big one.
That's right.
But then as far as internet porn, I think the best hedge against internet porn are these websites that you can click on and put these guards on your computer that either tell somebody else where you've been or doesn't allow you to get to certain sites.
Yeah.
We'd all love to say we're bigger than that. We just decide not to do it. But I hear from people all the time who say, you know, I thought I had victory over this, and then I just had a moment of weakness, and then I was spiraling again. That's why it's so crucial to plant hedges. I have one friend who puts a little card on the top of his television with a verse that says, I will set no unclean thing before my eyes. Mm-hmm. So if I do, I'm violating my own admonition to myself from Scripture when I do that.
Well, that's great practical advice. I mean, we have to take responsibility we're grown-ups.
Totally.
We have to take total responsibility for our own actions and our own thoughts, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Yeah. And the second thing he does is he carries in his purse a copy of his wife and daughters. And whenever he finds himself talking to, he might be sitting on an airplane beside an attractive young woman, and inevitably he'll strike up a conversation. And he begins by saying, this is my wife and my daughters, and starts to talk about them. So he's already set the pitch. The pitch is, I'm not available. I'm just a nice guy. I'm happy to talk to you, but I'm not looking for anything and I'm not interested in going anywhere. And I think that's really smart.
Yeah. Just in relation to the hedges again, are hedges unique or are they different from people to people? One person's hedge different to another person's hedge, perhaps?
I would say so, and certainly Jerry Jenkins says so. What would be a risk factor for me may not be a risk factor for you at all. What might be a danger for you might be something that I wouldn't even pay any attention to or notice. So that, you know, depending on who we are, we have to identify where our vulnerabilities are and what are we inclined to do. And if we're at risk or vulnerable in a particular sphere, then we ought to take appropriate action.
Okay, but the onus is on us to recognise the dangers.
Absolutely.
And we're very stupid if we don't recognise the dangers.
Yes, exactly. I mean, when Paul said to Timothy, he said, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. if you're fleeing lusts and the dangers that come with it, the danger of getting into infidelity and the lure of an affair and so on, then we're protecting our marriage. And the command is very, very clear. Like, this is not something we're supposed to battle with. You know, I'll only watch a small amount of the pornography that's on the television now that I'm here on my own in my hotel and nobody can see. We are not to battle with it. We are to run away from it. And we are to retreat and get out of there. Don't go there.
So the time for being wishy-washy is over. We have to take a firm stand. We have to say, nope, not doing that. Not reading that, not looking at that, not flirting with that.
That's right. And as Stephen was saying about Paul writing to, what's it, Timothy you were referring to there, Paul also said that in his flesh, and the very old-fashioned words, but in his flesh dwells no good thing. He wrote that of himself. Now, if Paul, who was probably the greatest sort of missionary ever, if he can admit that, then what about us, like mere mortals here? I mean, surely we're not going to say, ah, well, St. Paul maybe had a problem, but we don't. You know, it really is an issue, and I think the best advice is run for your life. Get out of this territory. You don't need to be there.
Okay.
And I think because it's so alluring, it's so attractive, that men are stupid. They think that they can handle it, and it'll be all right, and I won't get caught, or it'll be a little bit of it, and it won't make any difference.
Yes.
The thing is, it's like a drug, and as we've discussed in previous programs, and we've looked at the whole issue of hormones and the recent research on the brain, and what it does is stimulate and it releases hormones that give you an emotional high, and you're longing for that high, and you're hoping for it, and it's like being on heroin, except for it's going on in your mind. And that sort of emotional high and that hormone release and that fix, if I can call it that, that pornography gives, is so destructive to the marriage and ultimately destructive to the well-being of the person, that the Bible commands us to flee such things. Get out of there.
Just a few highlights for you from Hedges. Loving your marriage enough to protect it. Our original 5-part series is filled with common sense hedges to put in place to protect our marriages that mightn't be so common. As I've mentioned, we have loads of material available for you at family.ie. This is the 5th edition of family.ie radio magazine. Coming up next, Responsible Kids, from How to Wow. More about that in just a moment, so stay tuned. By the way, if you have any questions or comments at any time, feel free to send us an email, radio@family.ie. Or our text comment line is 086-251-6886. That's 086-251-6886, or radio@family.ie. Welcome once again to the 5th edition of our radio magazine. Now we want to turn the page to another article. It probably goes without saying that times have changed dramatically here in Ireland in a relatively short space of time, and that translates into every facet of society, often very noticeably with children. Here's Dr. Kevin Lehman.
Some of you are old enough to remember, you know, when kids used to obey their parents. Now parents obey their kids. You go out and sit at a mall. Just sit there. Sit there on one of those benches and watch what happens. And you'll know within 15 minutes why some mothers eat their young. I mean, you got a kid that's three feet tall in full charge of the adults around him. And we bring up kids to feel like they're the center of the universe today. Now, if you bring up your kid to feel like they're the center of the universe, somebody step up to the plate and tell me, where's the room for Almighty God in a kid's life? There's no room for God in a kid's life.
You know, I think he's right. It's probably not anyone's goal, but it happens a lot easier and faster than most people imagine. I suppose as frightening as some children's behaviour is now, what should concern us more is that they are future adults. Our series called Responsible Kids, From How to Wow, was somewhat of a sequel to the series of programmes we did called Bringing Up Kids Without Tearing Them Down, based on the book by Dr. Kevin Lehman. In that series, he pointed out some key elements for raising healthy, well-adjusted children. Stephen, Heather and Vincent went through more of those principles that Kevin Lehman has laid out. And as they discussed, one of the goals as parents is to not only simply get kids out of the house.
I love these scenarios. It puts us right in the pictures. Even personally, I'm seeing myself in some of these situations. Maybe we just explore a few more of them.
Should I mean, say a little boy just will not do what he's asked. When he's in a position to do so, he runs the show in the home. And parents, and that's not a good scenario for a parent to allow to develop either. No more than it's good for a parent to allow a child to develop, feel I'm helpless, I can do nothing. You know, I'm not able to do anything.
Isn't it true also, Stephen, that in doing so, we need to encourage our children to kind of what I call have a vote in the house, mm-hmm. so that although they don't run the show, it's important that they're included mm-hmm. in what's going on. And maybe they won't feel that need then to always be in control if they know that their opinion, for what it's worth, it's just a little one, but still whatever their opinion is listened to and mom and dad hear their preference of what they'd like to do or where they'd like to go, if there's some choices. I've always felt it was very important to try and include the children in the choices that are available. Sometimes life doesn't offer choices, but when there are choices, I think it's good to say, you know, what do you think?
Well, of course, it is all about creating that feeling in a child that they are important and they are valued, even at an early stage of their development. Yeah. Right, well, we've spent quite a bit of time today taking a look at what Kevin Lehman calls the wonder years, and of course they're not called the wonder years for nothing. You describe it almost as being sponge-like.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the research suggests that maybe 85 to 90% of the personality and the self-view of the child is formed in the wonder years in terms of how they see themselves and the self-image that they have. But then they go out into the blunder years of, as I mentioned earlier, you know, of the 6 to 12-year-old time frame, and they're beginning to experiment, and they begin to what one might describe experiment and try out things, and they fail. That, you know, this is a fantastic opportunity for parents to come alongside their kids, you know, as they make that journey up to the teenage period when they sort of move into the secondary school phase, as it is, you know, where they're exploring the world for themselves beyond their parents, beyond the home. It's a more adventurous time. They're more likely to make mistakes and fail and fall down at times. But in terms of creating a positive self-image in the child, there's so much the parents can do when they're close to their kids and they're involved with them that they can sort of see, look, it's great that Jimmy tried and failed, but that's not the end of the road for you, Jimmy. You know, we're going to help you pick yourself up and go on and be better the next time. Or for Mary, where, you know, she created something or did something and wasn't so successful as she'd like to be, that's not the end of the road. And I, as a parent, can identify some of those patterns, and I can help to start addressing those things.
Some counsellors would describe human beings developing certain, what you've called lifestyle-based, is exactly right, patterns, which are like flaws in the logic. It's about thinking not quite straight on certain issues. And children are great at this. They get the whole wrong idea about themselves. And we all do it at times. But if we can help them in the early years to change that, that will really be to their advantage. Dr. Lehman calls them, I count only when. And some of these would be, I count only when I get approval. Or I count only when I am in complete control, like running the show. And we talked about that earlier, that little child. And that, for that child, might be the only way he feels he really counts. I count only if I'm superior, if I'm right and others are wrong. How many times do we see that with children? I count only when I'm taken care of by others. Mm. Or I count only, sadly, when I'm used, put down or abused.
That's
and there
a sad
are children,
one, it?
It's very sad, but there are children who have adopted the lifestyle that says, I'm only worthy of being abused and treated badly. And there are flaws in the logic that have grown up with the child. And it can be quite challenging to change that. And parents have a responsibility, really, to try to help a child to see that they count all the time. Mm. They're important people. You know, they've been created and brought into this world to be loved and nurtured and brought up in that environment of love and encouragement.
And we should remember that.
Absolutely. And we need to help children who are damaged and have this wrong thinking to really understand it and to see it differently.
I think it might be helpful, Heather, if we just use some more of the scenarios just to enforce that, because I think Kevin Lehman is really good at putting us in the picture with these scenarios. They're very, very practical and useful.
This one case he gives, Vincent, of a 10-year-old boy who's out playing in the yard and his mother's told him not to be climbing that tree. And he says, yesterday you told me not to climb that tree. You know, it's not the one I'm in today. So, you know, he has found ways of getting around the rules, if you like. And what's possibly in play is this child likes to be in control, to, you know, to manipulate a little bit and to take charge of his parent. Now, if he's allowed to become more and more unruly, the older he gets, the more problem that's going to become. You know, as you can imagine. imagine Vincent as he gets from 10 into 13 and 14, and you know, he'd be invited to join a number of other kids who are like-minded, and you know, they could be troublesome. So parents have the responsibility, you know, to be responsible in their parenting and not to kowtow, if you like, to the, you know, the child that can run away with themselves and needs to be disciplined and needs to be brought to account.
And I think it's good to keep in mind that parenting really is a journey. It's not a short trip. You're listening to Family.ie Radio Magazine. We hope you're enjoying our programme so far, as those are just a few highlights of our original five-part series called Responsible Kids, From How to Wow. Up next, we'll hear a few highlights from our series TNT for Dynamite Relationships. Obviously, there can be emotional blow-ups or implosions whenever two people come together, but in this instance, TNT stands for Love That Is Tough and Tender. So you'll hear more from us right after the break, but don't forget that we'd love to hear from you. Our text comment line is 086-251-6886, or email us anytime, info@family.ie. Again, that's 086-251-6886, or info@family.ie. Time for another quick break, but stay tuned for the final segment of today's programme, edition 5 of Family.ie Radio Magazine. So, picture this. You've put in a hard day's work, you're just about to leave for the evening. Suddenly, your boss comes to you and says, "Look, I really need you to stay and work on this big project. I need it by first thing tomorrow morning." The only thing is, you are actually on your way to your daughter's 6th birthday party. What would you say?
Knowing me, I would probably work an hour earlier, 2 hours earlier, whatever I could do. Or I'd probably, more or less, probably come back after the kid's birthday or something like that. I'd finish it. I wouldn't be letting people I work with down. That's the whole thing. Like, I like it now rather than tomorrow. Like,
I'd probably end up staying up till 6 in the morning and just get it done, and end up drunk doing it maybe, but doing it at 6 a.m. I don't know.
I'd probably say I wouldn't be able to do it, but I'd come in the next morning early in the morning and do it.
I guess I would endeavour to get it done and perhaps be late to the party, but I'd make sure I caught before she went to bed, or my daughter, or whatever it was, just to make sure to congratulate them and make proper the special day that's in it for them. But yeah, in this day and age, work commitments really are high up there, unfortunately. It's a tough one. It's a very tough one.
What would you say? If you'd find a situation like that tough, could it be that you might be a bit too tender? This is the 5th edition of Family.ie Radio Magazine. Stephen Cardy, Heather Walsh and Ger Shanahan have examined some of the differences between what authors Gary Smalley and John Trent call the two sides of love. Part of that has been the four main personality types. If you missed it, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the descriptions during our previous programmes at www.family.ie. But the personality types that lean towards the tough side of love are lions and beavers, while the other two personalities, golden retrievers and otters, tend to favour the tender side of love.
There are things that can cause us to clam up, if you like, and seize and get frozen. Emotionally, we don't want to move away from there, or we don't want to move into that particular piece of territory. And there are causes of that. And if we're going to bring greater balance, if we're strongly oriented towards the people side of personality, and we're not addressing ourselves at times appropriately to the need to be task-oriented, then that misbalance can cause dysfunction in relationships and strain and difficulties, and families can get into trouble. But the reason usually for that being out of balance, not being addressed and changed for the good, is because maybe something has caused us to freeze up. And one of the authors of the book that we've been working from told the story of his mother, who was very people-oriented. And she had a daughter who was about 6 or 7 years of age and had misbehaved, and her mother smacked her, and the daughter went to her room and she was upset. But the daughter also had a slight injury to her arm, and that injury became a serious injury which led eventually to her death. The mother blamed herself for smacking her at that particular time, which was nothing to do with the death of the child. But for the mother, being a golden retriever, she felt bad about having chastised her child for misbehaving at that particular point in time, because the child wasn't well, although she wasn't aware of how unwell her child was. She didn't know this. And at that time, the sort of medicine that we have today wasn't available. So the child died. And the result of that was that the mother entered into what we call a freeze point. After that, she refused to discipline her children. Now, she had five other kids, and five other kids growing up in a home where no discipline was applied was not a good situation for those five other children, because they grew up unruly. Because of the natural disposition of the golden retriever, in this case, to want good relationships and not want to offend the children, resulted in her refusing to take them to task on anything. I mean, she was a fantastic mother, but she was too soft on some things that she should have been firmer on.
So how did that affect him?
It affected him in that he was ill-disciplined and he was unruly.
And did he regret that?
He did, because, I mean, he had to learn to overcome it. Unfortunately, he married a wife who was balanced, and he, like his mother, was very strongly oriented towards people. But he was indisciplined in other areas of his life, and his wife held him subsequently to account, which we'll talk about in a few moments. You know, this holding to account and being willing to be held to account is something that people who are soft-sighted actually need. But if these freeze points exist in reality, in our world, because of things that have happened, we need to recognise them for what they are and begin to deal with them. Maybe you were raised by a parent who was extreme in one area, as we've just described, or extreme in another area, you know, that might apply on the other side. And that dysfunctional lack of balance can impact on a child in their growing up. And as we said in the previous programme, hard-sided behaviour by a hard-sided parent can cause dysfunction that goes on maybe even for a whole lifetime.
Why would a person want to continue with a freeze point? If that is the case, if they're destructive?
Well, we'll talk about reasons why people who are on the soft side, if you like, put off, and we'll deal with procrastination in a moment. But they would often do it because they're afraid. And there's fear of being rejected by the other person, of harm coming to the relationship, and so on. But one of the things people who are strongly soft-sided is that they must deal with the second item that we have on today's pointers for people who are on the soft side, is that you must allow a short time of distance to build and accommodate yourself as a people-oriented person to that fact that if you're going to, let's say, address some misbehavior, like in the case of your parent or a spouse who's misbehaving, and you have to say to them, no, that's not good enough, or you can't do that, or that's not acceptable, or you're not respecting me, or whatever it is, that to do that, that is going to produce an emotional distance for a moment in time. It could be moments, it could be hours, it could be days, it could be weeks, it could even last for months or years. But that must happen for appropriate relationships to come into being.
You've been listening to Family.ie Radio Magazine and a few highlights of our original four-part series, TNT for Dynamite Relationships. Our series is based on the book by Drs. John Trent and Gary Smalley called The Two Sides of Love. There's more information about the book on our website, family.ie. You'll also find podcasts of this programme series and other topics we've covered, including Meet the Willis Clan, The Five Love Languages of Children, Have a New Kid by Friday, Focus on Finances, and others. We think you'll find it's a wealth of information. Whether you're single, married, separated, divorced, we try to have something for everyone in the family. You'll also find links to follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. Again, that's www.family.ie. As you may know, all of the features and programs you've heard about today simply would not be possible without the generosity of our supporters. So a big thank you to you for helping us as we help strengthen individuals and families throughout Ireland. We'd love to hear from you, by the way. Our text comment line is 086 251 6886 or email us radio@family.ie. That's 086 251 6886 or radio@family.ie. So until next time, on behalf of Stephen Carty and Heather Walsh, I'm Ronan Johnston, Slán Tama. Thank you for listening to Family.ie, helping families thrive.